Did you know that there's a weekly blood donor clinic at 7 Wicklow Street, St. John's, Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m.? Identification with full name and signature or full name and photograph is required. Roll up your sleeves, Canada. Blood, it's in you to give.
Welcome back to Reflection Time. For our second half of our program today, we're going to be continuing with part two of Pastor Daryl Taylor's presentation about the perfect pattern versus the pagan counterfeit pattern. But first, we're going to be listening to a hymn played on the violin by Preston Hughes called Once to Every Man and Nation. Well, we are ready to listen to Pastor Daryl Taylor with today's message, The Pagan Counterfeit.
So let's go to Revelation 11. The Bible says in verse 13, and the same hour was there a great what? Earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men what? 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now remember, in the days of Christ, or in the line of Christ that we're looking at, the end of the world was represented by what? The destruction of Jerusalem. All right, Jerusalem was destroyed when Jerusalem was besieged by the king of the north, the robbers of God's people, right? When you know that what happened in 70 AD was the destruction of Jerusalem, which was typified as an earthquake, and we know that the destruction of Jerusalem represented the end of the what? End of the world. When you see Bible language in Revelation 11 saying there was a great earthquake, we're going to see that this also represents the something that typifies the end of the world. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 11. Now, we've been talking about the time of the French Revolution when the Bible would be killed. The Bible says in verse 13, that same hour, Revelation 11, verse 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the what? Tenth part of the city fell. When we talk about a tenth, how would you illustrate? What is a tenth? If I have 10 fingers, what's a tenth out of one? One finger would be a tenth, right? Now, what city was divided into? Rome was divided into 10, right? So when it's talking about in this earthquake, a tenth or one part of that great city would fall, was France one of the 10 that Rome was split into, Western Europe? Yes, it was. And this great earthquake is representing the revolution that rocked France, what we call the French Revolution. The one-tenth of the city is France. And the Bible says, and in that earthquake were slain of men how many? Seven what? 1,000. You know, it's interesting that historically there were 7,000 nobles in France that perished in the French Revolution. In the French Revolution, Josiah Litch records 7,000 names or 7,000 nobles that were killed in the French Revolution. So when the Bible says that there would be a great earthquake, a tenth part of the city would fall, and in the earthquake would be slain of men 7,000. The history that perfectly fulfills this is the French Revolution, that which rocked or convulsed France, the one-tenth of Western Europe that fell in the French Revolution. Now, how does the French Revolution represent the end of the world? In other words, the French Revolution will be repeated. Do we see happening in the world today a redistribution of wealth? We see the richer become richer and the poor become poorer. We see all these things. That's what led to the French Revolution. And so if we see it happening today, then the French Revolution also is a type of what? The end of the world. Then the next thing we should see would be the what? The second coming. Let's look in the next verse. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 14. Now, Pastor Carrasco, this afternoon, he showed you the principle of what we call triple application, or 1 + 2 = 3. And he's been talking about the 5th, 6th, and 7th trumpet, which is the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd woe. And so the Bible says here in verse 14, the second woe is what? Past, and behold, the what? Third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast what? Taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Remember in 1844, the kingdom, the dominion and the glory were given to Christ based on expectancy. In other words, he didn't get them right then. He had to finish the high priestly work. Then he could take the dominion, the glory, and the kingdom. So at this juncture, Christ is no longer priest. So what happens when Christ ceases to be high priest? What does he do? Bible says that what? Michael would stand up. When Michael stands up in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, we know there's a time of trouble such as never was. But Sister White tells us in broadside letters that from the time that Michael stands up in the holy place to the time that the believers on earth see the sign of his coming, you know how she describes, or the half hand, or the little black cloud that's half the size of a man's hand. You see, God doesn't allow that thing to draw out. He's coming for his people. So when Michael stands up, this is end of the world. This is second coming. Now notice what it says, and you can see this in the language of the verses. Bible says in verse 17, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were what? Angry. And thy wrath is what? Come in the time of the dead that they should be judged. Thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." The angering of the nations, which is the convulsings of Islam in the world. So when you see Islam begin to take place, you know that you're under the seventh trumpet. You know that you're under the third woe. You know you're about to come to the second coming. Bible says in verse 19, "And the what? Temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." And if you just take that, talking about the lightnings and the thunders and the earthquake and hail, and you take that through Revelation, anytime it's saying that, you can see very clear this is second coming. This is when things are all said and done. But notice the Bible says the temple of God would be opened in heaven. When was the temple of God opened in heaven? Because it's opened twice. 1844, most holy place, that door was open and was seen inside the Ark of his testament. When is it opened the second time? When Michael stands up, when he's coming out for his people, second coming. So when you look at Revelation chapter 11, the history of the word of God follows point by point in exact manner, even the time that's connected with the history of Christ. Now, before we close this evening, let's end on the last pattern. Now, we've seen in the Word of God that Satan wanted to be just like the Most High. Didn't we see that? And we saw that Satan wanted to be just like the Most High, so he had his first dispensation, and then he had his second dispensation. And the second dispensation was the dispensation of the plan of damnation. We saw was the papacy, the abomination of desolation. Daily was removed so that the abomination of desolation can rise, right? So what we're going to look at now is what we're calling the history of the Antichrist. So we looked at the history of Christ, the history of the Word of God. Now we're looking at the history of the Antichrist. All right, and we're going to see that the Antichrist follows the exact same pattern. In the history of God or Christ, in the history of the Word, it's implied, but we'll see in the history of the Antichrist, there is a period of preparation. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And this presentation will effectively put to rest the daily, the subject of the daily. If we don't know by now that the daily is paganism, that there's two abominating powers, and so we're going to be done today, but we're going to look at it with a pattern. And we're going to see in this pattern, it's also, if you have an incorrect view of the daily, you destroy the history of Christ. You really destroy the line of Christ as well. So let's look in the book of Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. When you're there, amen. We're talking about the preparation period. The Bible says in verse 11, "And from the time that the daily shall be taken away." When was the daily taken away? In the year 508. In the year 508 A.D. All right, the Bible says, "And from the time that the daily shall be taken away, the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Now, this phrase, again, we talked about it yesterday, "and the abomination that maketh desolate set up," it literally means to set up the abomination of desolation. So the daily is removed to set up the abomination of desolation. And if the daily was removed in 508 and the abomination of desolation is the papacy, when was the papacy set up? 538. In 538, we're going to see that it was given power to give its testimony. And so if it was given power to give its testimony in 538, and we're going to show you Bible for this in just a moment, how many years preparation from when the daily was taken away till it was set up to give its power and testimony? 30 years. 30 years preparation, just like Christ. Let's turn your Bibles to Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13, we saw yesterday and the day before, we were looking in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we saw that the one that restrained the papacy, he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. We saw that the one that restrained or hindered the papacy was paganism. And when he was taken out of the way, the Bible says, then shall that wicked be revealed. And so the taking away was 508. Then in 538, that wicked was revealed. So now we're looking at the power and testimony. We're in the book of Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, let's look at verse 5. Revelation 13, Let's look at verse 5. And we understand that the first beast of Revelation 13, the composite beast, the beast that rises up out of the sea, that received its power, seat, and authority from the dragon, is the papacy. Amen? So we're talking about the papacy in verse 5 through 7. And notice the words. Revelation 13, verse 5. Bible says in verse 5, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue how long? 42 months. What's another name for it? 42 months prophetically. 1260 or time, a half a time, or three and a half prophetic years. The Bible says power was given unto him. We're looking at verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given him, or power was given him, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and what? Nations." The Bible shows he was given power. And then he gave his testimony, his witness, his prophesying. And the way that he did it was with the mouth that was given him. And he spoke blasphemies. So power was given him for 3.5 years to blaspheme. Power was given him to make war with the saints. So after 30 years preparation, 508 daily was taken away. 538, the abomination of desolation is set up. 3.5 years prophetically is now given him for his power and testimony. And so what is the next thing prophetically that should take place? Death. After 3.5 years, the papacy should die. Let's look at verse 3. Revelation 13 and verse 3. Bible says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were what? Wounded to death." What is this referring to? Deadly wound. What year? 1798. This is the 3.5 years of the 1260. All right. So 1260 years. Power and testimony for 1260 years. Then he received his deadly wound. Bible says they saw his head as it were wounded to what? To death. Now what's the next thing we should see? Resurrection. Actually, you know what? Before we pass to resurrection, let's do something that we should always do when we're teaching these most wonderful and advanced truths. Let's go to the book of Daniel chapter 11. We want to make sure we tie everything in with the foundation of our message at this time. Amen? Daniel chapter 11, you'll see that what we're teaching here is merely a arm or a branch off of Daniel chapter 11. Matter of fact, everything, and I hope you understand that everything you've heard from the beginning of this prophecy school, including the Beatitudes, including all of it, has come from Daniel 11, 40-45. Notice Daniel chapter 11, verse 40. We're going to look at part A of the verse. The Bible says, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south," what? Push at him. What is this identifying? 1798, the time of the end, the deadly wound. All right, so this death is Daniel 11, verse 40, part A. We're saying part A, it's the first part of the verse. Then we're going to start talking about what? Resurrection. And since we're in Daniel chapter 11, we'll go ahead and read the rest of the verse, verse 40. Bible says, "And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow, and what? Pass over. And he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be what? At his steps." In verse 40, 41, 42, 43, you have the three obstacles that papal Rome must overcome in order to rise from her death. We've seen the principle. I know Pastor Carrasco has touched on it time and time again. The principle of 1 + 2 = 3. We saw that pagan Rome had three geographical obstacles to overcome. That was Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. We looked at that last night. The south, the east, the pleasant land. We saw that papal Rome had three geographical obstacles to overcome. This is Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. which is the three horns, the Heruli, the Vandals, the Ostrogoths. So when modern Rome, or Rome at the end of the world, it would have three geographical obstacles, not two geographical obstacles and one church power. It breaks pattern. That's unbiblical as well. See, Bible is built upon unerring patterns. Amen? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Prophecy is built on the principle of himself. He is the great secret revealed in prophecy. And so he is not going to do anything in prophecy that is not consistent with who he is. And so he's consistent all the way through. And so the glorious land cannot be the church, therefore, cannot be Adventism. It has to be a geographical power. Pastor Carrasco showed you that prophecy is built upon what's called the rise and fall of nations. So the king of the south was a geographical power. This was the USSR. That was the first obstacle, 1989. Second obstacle is the glorious land, United States of America, Sunday law. Third obstacle is what's called Egypt, dragon power, represented in the Bible as 10 in one confederacy. We'll study that together when we look at Revelation 17. This is the United Nations. When these three powers are overcome, the resurrection has taken place. The deadly wound is healed. So three obstacles have to be overcome, and then there's resurrection. This is also seen in Revelation 3 and verse 3. He saw a deadly wound healed, deadly wound given. Then he says there was the healing of the deadly wound, and all the world would wonder after the beast. All right, so first the death, then the healing, then the wondering. If the deadly wound was healed in 1929, the world would have already wondered after the beast. But that hasn't transpired in its fullness yet. So we have resurrection. Then we have what? Prophetically, an ascension to power. We should see him rise again to power. Notice Daniel 11, that he's rising to power as he conquers each geographical area. He's ascending back to the throne that he lost, or that she lost, in 1798. Make sense to everyone? Amen. So let's bring this to close. Now we should be seeing what? The end of the world after ascension. There's resurrection. The resurrection and ascension takes place as the three are overcome. All right. He's rising from his death, and he's rising back to the throne of the earth. The resurrection fully doesn't take place until he's ascended to the throne again. Now, mind you, in 1798, there was a deadly wound, correct? What was killed? Remember, it's two powers in one. The papacy itself is being antichrist. It's a counterfeit Jesus. Didn't Jesus have two natures in one? Wasn't he fully divine and fully human? And so the papacy has the divine aspect, the church, and the human aspect, the state. But what died? The deadly wound, what died? What died on the cross? Let's make it easy. What died on the cross? Did God die? Did divinity die? No, it was humanity fully died. So in 1798, what died? It was the state power. It continues as a church. It's a church today. Amen? It's a counterfeit gospel all the way through. You have to understand that prophecy, again, is built on Christ. But you have to understand the mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. You have to understand both. So when you're studying prophecy, don't think that, oh, I'm not going to understand the glories of salvation. It's all there. You understand prophecy, you understand salvation. You understand the role that Christ is playing. So we're looking now at the end of the world. Let's look again in Daniel chapter 11. We might as well just stay in Daniel 11. It's all there. Daniel chapter 11. Let's look at verse 44 and 45. Bible says, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end in what? None shall help him. This is referring to the persecution that breaks forth because of the tidings of the third angel. This takes place at the end of the world. First obstacle has been overcome. 1989. The resurrection is taking place. The ascension is going to take place. Therefore, the persecution at the end of the world will take place in yours and my history. We need to understand that, you know, the Bible talks about that Christians have a blessed hope. Amen. The blessed hope is the second coming of our Lord and Savior. Amen. But we have come to a point in time, and you have to really understand this. The second coming is really no longer a blessed hope. It's proof positive. It's going to happen in this generation. Prophetically, we're not looking for something that's going to take place, hoping for it to transpire. Brethren, if your eyes are not open, if you're not watching unto prayer, that's how you'll be taken unawares. But those who are watching, we're not the children of darkness. We're the children of light. We should know we're living in the days where we're going to see Jesus. Do you recognize that? We're living in an hour where we're going to see Christ come. Now, if you seal your testimony with your blood, we're going to see that there's still a special resurrection for those who die under the third angel. You're still going to see Jesus come. Amen. Notice what the Bible says. We're talking about the end of the world. Next thing we should see is the second coming. Let's look at Daniel 12 in verse 1. And again, this is all built upon the platform of Daniel 11. Notice what it says in verse 1. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And we have to understand, when we come to verse 1 of Daniel chapter 12, there's no more dying for the righteous. When you come to verse 1 of Daniel chapter 12, no more death takes place with the righteous. Then it says in verse 2, and many of them that what? Sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Before Christ breaks through the cloud, Bible says there will some that will be resurrected to life and some that's resurrected to damnation. Now, we understand that the resurrection of the wicked doesn't take place until after the 1,000 year. This is the resurrection, the special resurrection of those who had pierced Christ. This is Revelation 1:7, how every eye will see him and also those that pierced him. Well, then there's a resurrection also before Christ comes, which is a resurrection of life. But this is those who have died under the third angel. This is Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed are those who die from henceforth. When you die under the third angel, you will take part in the special resurrection. Amen? Amen. When you look at the pattern, you destroy 508. You put this date, or you say that date never happened and that the daily is taken away some other time. That the daily is not paganism removed in 508, but it's Christ's ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. You just destroy that pattern, but then you destroy the pattern that it was following. This is the pattern of Christ. And you know what's really interesting? Satan mimics the pattern perfectly. Satan mimics the pattern perfectly. He wouldn't dare break the pattern, so he has people do it. He wouldn't break the pattern, so he has men become so blasphemous as to do that work themselves. Doctrines of devils indeed. When we come to the understanding of the daily, the daily solidifies proceed.
And this brings to an end our program for today. We hope you've enjoyed the presentation. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word. And whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.